Good morning. As Gary said, it is a privilege to stand before you this morning. It is a little bit of a burden, but it's a burden that we're called on to bear for one another, I think. As a man in this church, I think any man should be able to stand before his people. And we're not preachers, so we're not going to appear to preach, but try to bring something out or read scriptures or something that's edifying to God's people and glorifying to the Lord. And that's something that we do for one another. So my hope this morning is that all hearts and minds are cleared and we're able to put the thoughts of the world outside of our minds for a little while this morning and just share in the comforts of one another, of gathering together with God's people and being with our like-minded brothers and sisters as we sing. And you know, I think that's one of the reasons we do sing first before there's preaching, is because sometimes the singing does help clear your mind, and it puts the right thoughts in your mind when you reflect on the words that you're singing. And I know that it's hard when we leave this place to keep the thoughts of the world outside of our minds and of our hearts. One, because the world is always pushing down on us, and two, just because of our carnal nature as humans. But that's my prayer this morning, that, and like the psalm says, you know, we ask the Lord to grant us a clean heart this morning and restore the joy of his salvation, not the joy of an eternal salvation that we know that we have, but the joy of that salvation we have here on earth, knowing the things that we know. And that is that should be a great joy and comfort to us always, that of having that knowledge that what Christ has done for us before we were ever born. Just some housekeeping stuff. I want to thank everybody for all their thoughts and prayers for Tracy while she was laid up, and your thoughts and prayers for me as I was trying to take care of her. I'm not the best caregiver in the world. I try hard, but I'm not the best. So I appreciate all the thoughts and the prayers and the texts and, you know, the check-ins and things like that. It makes a difference when you have a church family that cares, and we really appreciate that. And I guess I was talking to some of y'all this morning. You know, I gripe a lot of times about not having time to study and things like that. You know, I just spent 2 weeks at the house pretty much taking care of Tracy, and Tracy was really not that demanding. It's not like I was having to wait on her hand and foot, and I had more time than I've had in a long time to study. So you would ask me, well, Brother Stephen, what'd you study? And I would have to tell you, not much. You know, I was just reflecting on that, you know, how we use our time. And a lot of times we don't use it wisely when it's given to us. Even knowing it's kind of like studying for a test. I knew I had to speak today, and I had 2 weeks to sit there and think about it and study for it, and I didn't really. And I'm ashamed of that, but I don't tell you that. I tell you that just because I know it's something that we all struggle with at times in our lives. But what I did have in my mind this morning, and when I really got to going back and reading, is in the second and third chapter of Colossians, in Paul's letter to the Colossians. And I found some things in it that I thought were really interesting in the ways that he's telling them to live their lives and, you know, their church lives and his feelings for them. And Brother Joe, you can correct me, but some of the where I read in here, he didn't even know some of these people. He had never been to maybe to this church. And I'm starting in the second chapter, and mainly in the third chapter, but in the second chapter, in the first verse, "For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you," and for them at Lacedonia or Laodicea, "and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." So he has a great care for them. You know, I got to thinking, you know, we talk about other churches and we care for our other churches that are out there. And a lot of times we've never been to them, but we hear about them and we communicate with them and they know about us and we have great care for them. And I was thinking about this morning, Brother Ed called me this morning to check on us. and to, you know, I hope y'all have a great service today. And that impressed on my heart, you know, that it's good to know that other people are out there. Even though he's not going to be here today, he still cares for us. And he wants us to have a good service this morning. And I have no idea, he probably didn't know it was me and Joe speaking, but I appreciated that call this morning. He called, you know, to check on Tracy and everything else, but I really appreciated that this morning. And then the second verse, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance and understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love. And when I look out this morning, that's how I feel. I feel like our hearts are knit together in love, because we do have that in this church, I feel. And down in the fifth verse, though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And I know there are some that couldn't be here this morning, but I know that they're with us here in spirit this morning. I know Brother Don's with us in spirit this morning. I know Brother Ed's with us in spirit, and I know there are other brothers out there praying for us and sisters praying for us this morning. And those couple right there hit me pretty hard this morning, and you know he's given us some warnings throughout there, but I wanted to mainly, I didn't want to take up a lot of time this morning because I think Brother Joe's got a lot on his mind this morning. Over in the third chapter, starting in the second verse, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. And yeah, I got to thinking, you know, is that, I should have read that at the beginning of these 2 weeks. More than now, I probably would have studied a little bit more. You know, and that's hard for us to do as people and as humans. It's hard in our nature. And it's not thinking on necessarily bad things on the earth, but our everyday things. You know, because we have to work, we have to pay bills, we have to have a place to live, we have to have food to eat. But those thoughts shouldn't overwhelm us. I think our day-to-day thoughts, our affection should be set on the things above and what the Lord has done for us, and especially us, because we know. We have that knowledge and we have that assurance. We have this book that tells us what he's done for us, and that's where our affection should be. But it's really easy for us, even as children of God, to set our affections on the things of the earth and not things above. Going down, I had some other scriptures marked this morning that I wanted to read, but I'm just going to go down a little bit, or read down. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which time ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And we know that. We know we've put off that old man, but I feel sometimes like I have two suits in my closet, and I go in there in the morning, I got the old man's suit and the new man's suit. And sometimes I want to put that old man suit back on. I don't know if I'm the only one that has that problem. Maybe not. Maybe. But, you know, we we know these things. We know we've been told these things to do, and we still struggle with that. And, you know, and he's, if you look at who he's talking to, he's not talking to this huge outside worldly group. He's talking to that church. He's talking to children of God. And over in the 12th verse, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. So he tells us who he's talking to in the 12th verse, as the elect of God. He's not just talking to everybody, he's talking to God's people, the elect of God. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that's a pretty profound statement, too. That's hard for us to do, to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. And I like this word, richly, in all wisdom. You know, if you go back to Ephesians, it tells us we should speak boldly. And here it's telling us to let the word of God dwell in us richly. So that, to me, that's not just that we know it and we know what it means, but we're to use it and to study it and to live it. When he's saying that word richly, he doesn't say have it in you poorly, have it in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then I got thinking about that, and that one hit me pretty hard. You know, if we would stop and think for a split second before we act and realize that everything we do, we should be doing in the name of the Lord, we probably wouldn't do a lot of the things that we do. We probably wouldn't say a lot of the things we say. If we stop and think, I'm doing this in the name of the Lord. You know, if you stop and think about that for a second, that's a pretty heavy statement. It's something. If that really got into your mind and you really made a conscious effort when you leave here today and you go home and you go back out into the world to work or wherever you got to go tomorrow and think about everything that we do, every word we say, every deed that we do, doing it in the name of the Lord, how would we act? How would people around us react to us? Say, man, something happened to Stephen. That's not the same Stephen I knew 2 weeks ago before he went out, you know. And that one, yeah, I don't know, as carnal creatures, that's hard for us to do. But that would maybe, if, you know, if we have a challenge for one another when we leave here, it maybe would be just that verse. And whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I think that would, and especially in not just young people, because we all struggle. It's not just young people that struggle or that was run across things that they don't understand or shouldn't get into. But when you leave here today, think about that one verse. And I'll read it one more time. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Just think about that. If you don't get anything else out of that, think about that one verse when you leave here and we leave this place and go back out into the world and where we have to interact with everybody else that's not maybe in our circle or in our church family or even in our church family and our secular families. Think about what we do with every word or every deed and what we should be doing. And I'm not telling you that because it's something I've perfected. I'm telling you that because when I read that, it slapped me upside the face. And I got to thinking about everything I've ever done in my life, or just day to day, what I did yesterday. You know, was that something that I would have said, hey, I did that in the name of the Lord? I don't think so. But that's something I'm gonna struggle with and try to convict my heart when I leave this place to do better with. And I hope you'll do the same. And I'll turn it over to Brother Joe. Take my water with me, since I didn't drink it up there.
I may need it.
There's another one over there.
God bless you.
I do hope that you'll continue to pray for me and the services, that God will be in our midst. You know, without Him being in our midst, they're just natural words that are being spoken. But hopefully everything that Brother Ross has brought before us has in some way affected your heart and called your spiritual mind to think about the things that he said. As he said, it's a fearful thing, and that's a little bit of my thoughts this morning, things that I've been thinking about. And he mentioned, you know, what he said yesterday or what, you know, we might have done day before yesterday. Well, I've been thinking about there's a movie that came out a while back, and some of you may remember it. I don't know. Some of the younger ones may not, but the name of the movie was I Know What You Did Last Summer. And just that thought, if I were to say to Megan or Katie or Brother Don or somebody, I know what you did yesterday. Now, they don't know what I know. But what kind of thought would that bring to your heart and your mind? And the thing is that we deal with an omnipotent God. He knows everything. You're not going to surprise him with what you did yesterday or with what you did last month or last summer even. You're not going to surprise him one bit. He knows what you did. He knows what you're doing. He knows your thoughts and intent of your heart. Before you can even express it or say it, because he knows our nature. He knows who we are and what we are. This is one of the very reasons that Christ has come into the world. And I'm going to read here in the second chapter of Ephesians. And I really need to read the entire chapter. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels would steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? And think, why does God think about me? What was it? What is it that he is mindful of me? And not only that, but not only was he mindful of me, he knew me, and he gave a solution for what I was. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to be called, or to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And so I reflect on fear. If you really look at fear, there's over 500 phobias in the psychological world, different things that people are afraid of. If I were to ask the girls, are you afraid of spiders? Are you afraid of snakes? Are you afraid of mice? Perhaps you're afraid of darkness, or you're afraid of different things. If I ask the young, they're fearful of older people. They're fearful of giants, things bigger than them. And sometimes things are overwhelming to them. And if we ask the middle age, the parents and those that are raising children, they have many fears about their children. They have fears about how they're going to make their money so that they can provide for their families and different things like that. And if we ask the elderly, they have different fears as well. If they can still get out and have the freedom to go places and do things that they once enjoyed to do when they were young and when they were growing up, and that they can still be functional in society. And that, so we all have different fears. But if you'll notice, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Our whole lifetime, we're subject to the bondage of fear and the fear of death. If you think about those spiders and snakes and different creeping things and the things of the natural realm, and we look at those things and what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of maybe fire? You're afraid of just different natural things. Are you afraid of floods? Are you, because you know, at one time I'm sure they were afraid of floods, because there had just been a worldly flood that had flooded everything, but God sent a rainbow to promise that he wouldn't do that again. But at times we still have floods, not the whole world, but it's a flood in our life or a flood around us, and we have different fears like that. And so our whole lifetime we've been subject to fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, do you realize that fear can be a very paralyzing thing in your life. If you're afraid of the dark, you won't go into a closet. And if you're afraid of a giant, you're not going to face him. You're going to run and hide. And that's exactly what the Israelites did whenever they were given the promised land. They were given a land, a kingdom, a possession to possess and to that was theirs, that had been promised to Abraham, that had been promised to Isaac, to Jacob, to the children of Jacob. And they had been promised that land. And yet they were fearful to go in and to possess that land because of different natural things. Do we realize this morning that the blessings that we have and that all of the things in life, all of the things in nature, that God created those things? God created everything that you see and everything that you know. He created your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, your family, the house that we live in, the elements that we see around us is what God created. Now, there may have been a carpenter involved in building houses or different things, but everything that you see and everything that we know, God created it. So he's bigger than creation. And part of my thoughts is who, what, when, and where. Who is God afraid of? What is God afraid of? Where is he afraid of anything? He's not limited to the fear that we have. He wasn't afraid that we weren't going to be his children. He's never afraid that you are not his children. Because he had full confidence in his son to go and to be made like unto a man and be to take part in the same temptations that you and I are tempted with. He was confronted with many things that you and I have never been confronted with, that you won't be confronted with, or you may be confronted with it. But the thing of it is that he, Christ, came down and was made part of the same. It behooved him to be likened unto his brethren. And he was made likened to us. I want to look at the 27th chapter of Psalms. And I'm going to read that whole psalm too. So, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's a good question. He's the light of my life. Could he ask you or say, I know what you did last summer? Well, sure he could. He knows what you did last summer. And in conversation, whenever we're rebuked by different things, as Brother Ross has mentioned, whenever we're reading through these things and it convicts my heart and convicts my soul and my spirit, then there's of necessity a desire to not be afraid of God. But I am afraid of God. Whenever I'm overwhelmed with what I do. You know, we've heard Brother Don mention before that there are things that he does, and any one of us in here could say, you know, there's things that I've done, that I do, that are not godly. And you don't know what they are. But God does. He knows what they are. And even though he knew what they were and would be, Christ died for me. Christ And God, we're so merciful, and that there's no deserving part on me. I did nothing. It happened, took place before I was even born. But He, in His eternal covenant, His eternal wisdom, had a thought of, why are you mindful of man? That's what it said over there. Why? What makes you mindful of him? It's baffling to me that he was mindful of me, that he had a thought of love and a thought of mercy on my behalf. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And you know, we our second set of clothes. Sometimes I don't live like I should live in the world because I am afraid. I'm afraid of what other people might think of me, that they might judge me. Oh, he's just a goody two shoes. He does, but I'm a natural man as well, and there are natural things that I think about and know, and so I do wear that second or the natural, the flesh, in a way that I shouldn't be wearing it at times. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praise unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are arisen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, I don't really need to go over all of that. It's all pretty well self-explanatory, that God is the salvation, he is the light and my salvation. Whenever everything else around me gets confusing, and I begin to fear about different things, the one thing that really got me thinking about this was Job, poor old Job over here. But there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God. And I could leave it right there, but that's not the whole verse. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. He didn't just fear God. but he eschewed or he avoided evil. And in our lives and in our day-to-day activities in our businesses, if you want to see a man of God in the character, in the light that we should live our lives, I believe that Job is a good example for the way we should conduct ourselves in life. He had three miserable comforters that could not comfort him, that I don't think that they would have comforted him no matter what. But it says over and over, one that feared God and escheweth evil. One that feareth God. And then in Job's own discussion over here with his friends, he said, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. You think about that for a minute. You're deathly afraid of spiders, and then you go into a room and you turn on the light and it's filled with spiders. That thing that I greatly feared, whatever it was, came upon Job. And he is still in everything that he said, in all of his answers to his miserable comforters, everything that he said was just. So just think about that for a little while, that everything that he said was just, and that God was not upset with what he was saying. Another thing over here, and we've all heard this several different times over the last year or so, and it doesn't make it any, I mean, repeating it, it doesn't make it any stronger or less, but man that is born of woman, and you don't misunderstand that. It's not just referring to men. It's referring to mankind. And men and women fall under the same boat. Man that is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of a clean unclean? Not one. We are unclean. So how can I become clean in the eyes of God? If it wasn't for his mercy and for his grace upon my life, because he knows all about me. He knows what I would have, or everything that I would have done before I do it. But why would he send forth his son to cover all of that? Because that's what an atonement is. It's a covering. It covers the mistakes that I've made in life and the mistakes that I will make in life. And he has covered that with his precious blood. In the 28th, I think it is, chapter, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, or the lighting of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it, he prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So, in looking at Job and his life, the reason or that he had wisdom, he feared God. And he had understanding. He not only feared God, but he departed from evil. He avoided it. He avoided the evil that he was surrounded by. You know, not everybody went up to the house of God. But Job did. And we should continually be reminded of that. As Brother Ross said, this is, and Brother, maybe Brother Barrington, this is a filling station where I get my tank filled up every week. And when I'm, and I don't know about Brother Ross, Brother Barrington, but whenever I'm having to think about, and I shouldn't have to think because I'm preparing to speak before you. I should always be, and I should always be thinking about the beauty of God and reflecting on God. And before I quit, let me go back over there and look at that in Hebrews one more time. Because that is to me, I don't know about to everyone, but that to me is very beautiful and very important. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If you don't want to be subjected to bondage, look to Christ, because he destroyed death. He destroyed all of the things that will cause us fear in our life. If we're afraid to approach our boss, if we're afraid to go out and do the things that we need to do that are necessary to be godly, He destroyed and overcame those things that we might not be under the bondage or subject to bondage anymore. Now thank you and hope that you will continue to pray for us and this church, and that you will continue to study the things that we've looked at. Thank you.